Fuck. Thomas Paine podcast, Paine in the morning, Thursday, closing out a week, another week, coming close to closing out another month. In case you, all the days may run together, all the weeks may run together for you, and all the months may run together when you're locked away in your different places throughout the United States and throughout the world, as we have a lot of folks on here now checking in from parts known globally and parts unknown globally. And we're down with the parts unknown. We can't blame you for shrouding your location in this day and age. Well, we're going to rock and roll tonight. That's why we kicked it off. You guys thought I was going a little soft, right? I don't think so. A little polka out there from my Polish brothers and sisters. God bless you. My Polish grandma, her crazy side of the family. God bless them too. Central and Western PA. And don't mess with the Polish. As we usher in a few house cleaning items, reports, and are in from... Let's set the lights. Reports are in from Apple that there's some kind of a problem with our downloads of the podcast starting yesterday. And they say they're working on it, so we'll see where that goes. So there's no sense in me telling you that you should listen to us on thomaspainpodcast.com or on patreon.com/truepundit or subscribestar.com/truepundit if you're not listening to this thing to begin with. Hopefully folks know where to find us. If Apple continues to give us a bad steer, we'll see how it goes. I'm not going to jump to any conclusions. Although there's a hell of a story behind it if it doesn't get rectified soon. But I have a feeling that I'm being optimistic in today's disastrous atmosphere. Everything we come across, I'm being optimistic. Perhaps uncharacteristically optimistic, but optimistic nonetheless. Let's pick a color for tonight. Would you say green? All right. Fuck it. We'll go with green. Yeah, I like it. Looks good. The studio lights. It's a hell of a story if we end up getting shafted or there was some kind of a snafu after we've been arguing with our podcast overlords. But that's okay, because folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit get the full podcast, ad-free podcast, regardless, no matter what. If you're not, and you're normally getting your podcast via Apple or iTunes, etc., we're on pretty much every other platform, and everything's performing well on every other platform, like iHeart, etc. And so you can check it out on there. We left Spotify, so we're not on Spotify anymore. Thank God. And as you know, they're the ones that own the podcast network. And my battles with them this week have been rather lively. And well, we'll just remain optimistic and not bore you with our inside baseball. But looking forward to tearing this show up. A lot of things to talk about, a lot of folks checking in from different places, and we appreciate that for sure. Let's do some music and then be on our way here off to the races.
On a Monday, I was arrested.
On Tuesday, they burnt my city down. On Wednesday, I pumped myself with poison. On Thursday, I collapsed and I fell to the ground. I got U.S. citizenship. It's going to be on my new album, my COVID album. It's a two-record set right now. We're working on it. The guy who should have stripes around his shoulder. Let me tell you about this dope. Our crack squad dug a few things up today. And spurred by a troublemaker on patreon.com. I say that jokingly, of course. These guys, the forums on there are unbelievable, but we'll plug in an ad here to plug that. And for the folks that are on those platforms, you won't hear that ad since we're trying something new, but we have some interesting characters on there that are really just so bright. And he started this, and then I put the crack squad on it. And the rest is history. Let's see where we're at. Now it's not going to... We prepped this. Everything was going well. And you know what? I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get mad over simple things and things we can remedy quickly. And I know you folks are good out there. You're listening. And you say, this guy's a one-man show. He's doing it all. Music, lights, and all this stuff. So we'll have some patience. There it is. I found it. Can you believe it? Oh, my God. It's a Christmas miracle.
Coming to me.
Coming to me from Washington. It's time to talk about Bill Gates. This is the guy who's in charge, okay, of your vaccines. Let's go back to 2015. Again, a shout out to... I'm going to tell you who it is, too. I'm going to uncover this. I'm going to pull the mask off of this dude right now. Steely Dante, my man. I know who you are. Your friends gave you away. I'm joking. If you folks ever heard the red tapes from the Tube Bar in Jersey City, your friends gave you away. Come on down here. Come on down. The crank call tapes from the a group of smart asses back in the 80s, way ahead of their times. Rest in peace, Red. Anyway, it's a little bit of an inside joke. It's the, if you watch The Simpsons and Simpsons, and they crank call the bar all the time with the crazy one-liners. They're picking that up from the Tube Bar tapes. Anyway, Steely Dante, He sent me this back from 2015. We forget about these things. Headline, Bill Gates, quote, I drank water made from human feces, unquote. And there's Gates on his picture of Gates, and he says, I drank water made from human feces. Here's an update on the machine that produced the water. Bill Gates sent out a tweet to remind people about the time he drank poop water from a glass in November. Again, this is 2015. Gates visited a facility in Washington State that burns human waste to produce water, electricity, and ash. The Omniverse, blah, 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 blah. The process takes human waste out of the streets and streams and turns it into something useful. Gates posted a video of himself at the processor drinking the product of what had been 5 minutes earlier human feces. It's water, he said after taking a sip. Sure it is. It's a miracle. And from that, we picked up this one.
Bill Gates has been busy in his second life as a billionaire philanthropist. On Tuesday in China, he took the next step in his crusade against poverty and disease by showing the room a jar of poop.
This is a container of human feces.
He's pointing to what the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation sees as a big problem, bad sanitation. As he says, in developing countries, there's way more of what's in the jar on the streets. They say it kills 500,000 children under the age of 5 every year and costs the world $200 billion in healthcare costs.
They smell terrible.
So now he wants to reinvent the toilet. On Tuesday, he unveiled one that turns waste to fertilizer. No water required.
The current toilet simply sends the waste away in the water, whereas these toilets, they don't have that sewer. This is non-sewered sanitation, and so they take both the liquids and solids and do chemical work on it, including burning it in most cases, so that at most you have some ash that isn't smelling bad and doesn't have any disease in it.
What kind of a psychopath gives a speech in front of a packed auditorium with a jar of crap? Of course, that's what he's been selling all of us. Sounds like he put his money where his mouth is. I'm more maybe the other way around. He's in China. Talking about he's going to reinvent the toilet. Oh, you already reinvented the toilet, pal. And we're all living it every day with your bullshit vaccines and your schemes. This guy's got his grubby little hands and everything. Would you trust a guy who drinks feces? Would you trust a guy who gives a speech? Literally, it was disgusting. I was going to show the video. I'm like, you know what? You have enough shit to deal with, literally. We don't need this fucking shit. My language is dirty enough for the show. We don't need to unveil people sitting there with a clear jar of feces. The most rich, one of the richest guys in the world at the time. That was 2018. His jar of feces. He's going to reinvent the toilet. And that was a couple years after he was recycling feces into drinking water. He's got his hands, his grubby little hands and everything. He's God. When he turns water into wine, maybe I'll start listening. It's insane. This is the guy who's in charge of the vaccines and driving the vaccine bus, the fear bus. And guys like Fauci, of course, are just puppets for him and other folks, big pharma. And somebody asked about, you always talk about they, like the overlords. Who are these overlords? Well, we'll talk about that later. We'll get to that. I just wanted to open up with the fact that this guy is drinking shit. He's recycling it. And no shortage of feeding it to you. I mean, hey, if he's so great at turning shit into water and recycling, he should just recycle his own bullshit. He'd be onto something there. You can't even make it up. This guy and his wife. Just shows you how corrupt. I'm starting to get upset early here. How corrupt things are. All the people, all the private interests, all the public interests, Congress, etc., sold out to this guy and give this maniac an international forum to peddle his bullshit, recycle his bullshit, and drink his own bullshit. He might be able to drink his own bullshit. You don't have to. And there's little doubt in my mind that the stuff they're pumping into people is about as healthy as the stuff coming out of that machine that he drank. Why can't you just go away? Enjoy your money, go away, and stop pretending that you're some kind of a fucked up god. You're not a god. You're an idiot who drinks his own shit. Well, I mean, perhaps there's a certain wisdom in that, but he's drinking somebody else's shit, which is even worse. Yeah. You wonder what him and Epstein were talking about all the times they hung out together. Hey, Jeff, come over. I'll show you how to recycle your own crap. Yeah, I'm sure that's what they were talking about, right? The environment and how to save the environment. Put some pants on, Gates. The cops are coming. You can't even make this stuff. It's literally insane, by the way. Literally insane. So let's jump into, we got some news, of course. I wanted to throw that. Let's do a little, we haven't done this in a while. It's fun. And again, on that podcast, anytime something happens or there's a snafu, you could just catch the episodes on thomaspainpodcast.com. They're all listed right there. Neat little index. You can do that. And I can't even, thanks to Steely Dante and our crack squad for digging digging up the toilet. He's reinventing the toilet. No, like I said, he's already reinvented it. The toilet now, thanks to idiots and crooks and weirdos like him, is the United States. Yes, you have reinvented the toilet. You've turned a great country into a third world toilet.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Okay, it's time to go everywhere, man. Listen, to hear from some of our folks around the country, to get a pulse of what's going on in, around Main Street America. I've been a big proponent of that as a street reporter. I love finding out the pulse of what the hell's happening out there instead of just hearing from people like me talk all day. So let's do that. Where's the first stop here?
Hey, Mike. Dave Patrick here. So about this topic you were just talking about. So this is tangential to what you were just talking about. So this could be used anywhere because it's of general interest. So, you know, you talk about, you know, people who are in positions and, you know, in jobs and they can't get out of the job because, you know, they're stuck. Well, why are they stuck? Because, like you say, you know, they've got, you know, bills to pay. They've got family, house, everything like that. So here's the deal. Being over leveraged like that, okay, does not allow you to stick and move. So we're in the situation now, everybody's got to be able to stick and move, using your term. Okay, how do you do that? You got to live beneath your means. Okay, and it's not something to say, I got to save, you know, $600 for a rainy day. No, that's not what this is about. When I say live beneath your means, you know, it's you got to do it. And it has to be the way you live. And it's the only way you're going to be able to stick and move, because the schemes they're going to come up with, they're going to come up with shit none of us anticipated, just like with this COVID-19 malarkey. Okay. So without knowing what's going to come, you have to prepare for the worst. But if you live beneath your means and you do this on a regular basis, you lower your expectations. You find you can have a lot of fun on no money or very little money. And if you don't have all the expenses and all the, you know, the bigger house that you didn't need, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, blah, blah, blah. Okay. If you don't have those expectations and that kind of shit, you're not going to miss it. And you're going to be able to stick and move. And we've got to be able to do that. We've got to be more agile than them. And smarter than them. We are smarter than them, but a lot of people are not agile at all because they're stuck. So, folks, listen to what Mike says. He's good man. You know, we love him dearly, and but you got to live beneath your means so you can stick and move. Thanks.
Texas. Dave from Texas. Two interesting points right there. Since we're not talking, we'll play that when we're traveling places. But right now, just lay out real quick two interesting points on that. There's nothing wrong with prioritizing some of your spending habits and things. The consumer society that we've become, it's out of control. It really is, and sometimes you get caught in it. You know, it could be your partner or things like that. It could be your kids. And you need to break out of that quick and try to start squirreling some money away. Now, it brings up really good points. And Sun Tzu, lays this out too. If your opponent is large and you're small, you're fast and he's slow. So you have to be able to move quick and do things. And, of course, money allows you a certain degree of agility versus no money versus no safety net. And as I said before, it's tough to work out here without a safety net. So we need to stick and move. And part of doing that is examining your spending and downsizing when you can. And trying to put some money away that they don't have access to, in case there's a problem. In case things get bad and you run out of cash. And you need food. We're not talking about going to Cancun on a vacation. We're talking about survival here. Now, while he was talking and dropping some gems on us and some great advice, I hearkened back to one of the Hotwire episodes we did on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit, where I went and I said, look, if you don't have the cash, I think we have another caller that talks about this too, so this will save time when they check in, because I listened to the calls that came in overnight. If you don't have any cash, there are ways that you can put a lot of money in your pocket by thinking outside the box, and here's what they are. Now, I spent a long time at Citi, it was a long time to me at Citi, almost 10 years before the FBI put an end to that. And you know what? Everything happens for a reason. I wouldn't be here if they didn't fuck with me. And I was still at Citi. I'd still be working at Citi. I like what I'm doing now. I like this better. It's more rewarding. I like Citi too. We had a ball at Citi and great people. And from the school of hard knocks, I know a lot of tricks. And the fact when the feds, I almost said fun squad, when the feds come after you and they turn your life upside down, you need to learn, as I did, some guerrilla tactics, financial tactics. Otherwise, you'll lose everything you had. Now, you're going to lose most of it, too, but you don't want to lose your house and things like that. It's a great way to lose your household. If you lose your house, perhaps your wife says, you know, or the husband says, oh, take a hike. I've been through enough. So there's some techniques that I say you can put $2,500, $5,000, $10,000 or more right in your pocket. Now there's no, this isn't some scheme where you have to send me money or anybody else I know money. You do it yourself, and we lay it out on Hotwire. And so there are ways that you can get more liquid right now. And then some people complain, you know, hey, we got to pay for access to this and things like that. You're talking about a substantial amount of money. That's number one. Number two, if you're in debt and they're chasing you, and I've been there, they're relentless. There's techniques. These techniques can be used to call off the dogs, where you start a line, a dialogue, a line of communication with these people, and you can walk away paying much less. And so we lay that out in a hot wire on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. You want to put 2,500? You want to put even 1,000? You want to put 5 grand, 10 grand or more into your pocket right now with no outlay and no scheme where you have to pay somebody? If you don't, God bless you, man. Send me your secret. Send me your secret sauce so I can one day be like you, because everybody can use a couple extra dollars, and you have the power to generate it yourself. Now, I can't go into it right now, and I already did. So those are subscriber benefits. Anyway. You folks might think you're back in the USSR. I certainly think I am when it comes to the censorship I see every day. And it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And we talked to some good people. And to be honest with you, I talked to journalists on both sides of the aisle, so to speak, because for a long time I've been subscribing to what Edmund Burke is talking about. I don't think good people have an opportunity to worry about what political corral they're in if they're good people. We need to associate and unite against bad men who have combined, as Burke said. So we talk to folks all over. Anyway, back in the USSR, one of the things we're trying to avoid and bring people the truth, even though we had a little pirate radio, is basically what is happening now. The landscape has changed in independent media for truth tellers. Sure, people that can bullshit and lie to you are out in the open making a lot of money on TV and influencers on the internet, but they're not telling you the truth. You know why? Because if they were, they wouldn't be there doing that. They would have been thrown off. We had to pull back on Twitter, and we decided to change philosophies, and now we're on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. And those people, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those people. So if you're listening to this on the arm, so to speak, on Spotify, etc., on Apple, it's simply because of those folks. And without them, wouldn't be doing this. Be doing something else. Probably be doing yard work. It was up to my wife. God bless her. Those folks are the cat's meow. They're supporting us. Helping us expand, helping us do a number of different things that we're doing behind the scenes. And we're not going to talk about it until they're done, because why would we give the opposition a chance to put the skids on things that we're working on? No. You'll know about it when it's ready. But in all seriousness, they get access to the Pain in the Morning video, Pain After Dark video. And I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll probably say it 1,000 more times, maybe just before the week's over. The intelligence that goes back and forth on these platforms has reached the level of stunning. Stunning. And we did a Pain After Dark on Saturday. It's worth listening to, where I explain the intelligence on that network saved my ass. And it's very humbling to think that you start something to help people and they end up helping you in a big fucking way. There you go. 17 minutes in, we dropped the F-bomb. I might have already said it. Who knows? I'll say it again if I want to. It's my show. That's right. You're damn right. People out there criticize me for my language.
You're a real crumb bum.
Thank you, Mayor Rizzo. These folks ended up helping me. And so you take a step back and say, wait a second. What is going on here? Well, what is going on is we have a lot of smart people. And it's really a blessing because it's such a departure from... I was on Twitter a little bit today and I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. We did it for so long. You know, you forget when you're in the middle of something and you're doing something. You take a step back and say, wow, the people on here are kind of stupid. Not all of them, but the majority of the people on here are... They might be insane. So... Maybe I should step off of here before I end up like them. And so we're blessed to have these people on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. And sign on, man. You're going to learn something. And if you have something to contribute, that's what we want to. We want smart people. We want people who want to learn. And it's even a bonus if somebody has something to teach other people and share. And even a know-it-all like me can... I'm kidding. I realize I don't know it all. You know, when I was at Citigroup, I went from intelligence into Fortune 50, I guess. I don't know what Citigroup is. It was Fortune 100, Fortune 50. And I was nervous, man. And I'm usually a cool customer. I went from journalism to Intel into Citi. I'm usually a pretty cool customer. But I knew that I didn't know anything about banking and I knew things about investigations and stuff. And I sat like a sponge until I learned. And then when I got my legs under me, I said, hey, you know, I'm pretty good at this. I could be pretty good at this. And you continue to learn. I'm the same way pretty much with everything in life. I don't know everything. I don't profess to know everything, but I know a lot of things. And if I don't know something, I have the common sense and the lack of ego to go find somebody who does know and have them tutor me or tutor the folks on Patreon that we have on Pain After Dark on many Saturday nights. Isn't that what it's all about? If you don't know what you're doing or you're not an expert in something or you know you have weaknesses, you address those by finding experts, etc. So we appreciate the folks on those platforms and we invite you to come over and we're only looking for a few smart people a day. That's it. And over time, we will build and continue to build a fantastic community that does great things and shares and has respect for each other. Sometimes things get a little heated. That's okay. But it's in a respectful manner. I would call it like 1990s internet, you know, before everybody thought they were a tough guy. Where they could threaten you for sharing your opinions and stuff. It's a good thing. I mean, it's better than good, to be honest with you. And the folks on there should be proud because of the way they conduct themselves. And I have very little input during the day because we're busy with this and we have a very small staff. These folks are rocking and rolling, and I don't interject too much. I read everything, and we take things and we run with them. And so, I mean, you know, you have to stick your head in to understand what's going on there. It's fantastic. And we're going to build on it. We're going to get our own platform off the ground and things like that. But everything takes time and recent challenges we've had here in the last 3 weeks. You got to listen to last Saturday nights to understand everything. It's fucking unbelievable what has happened here. What we've had to go through because of these tyrants, these dystopian robots and puppets working for the uber rich, working for the haves. And making sure they keep the have-nots under their shoe, literally, to squash folks like you and me. And it's truly incredible. It's a gauntlet. And I tell people what has happened recently, so you can prevent against it as best as you can. And it's worth its weight in gold. Believe me, I have so much feedback. I didn't even think about it too much. I just turned on the mic and we went on Saturday, and we got out late, and we had a hangout here where we were talking about a lot of different things, politics and things, with some folks and on Zoom, et cetera. And then I went into that. There was no prep. I just turned on the mic and just said, this is what's been going on. So I think it's worth listening to based on the feedback. Not from a couple people, from hundreds of people. It knocks you out when you start getting that kind of feedback. But it's good that folks are happy, and we'll keep bringing the heat, et cetera, and as long as we can. So thank you. Appreciate it. Where are we off to next? Let's play the magic song that allows us to travel all throughout the country. Let's go here.
Hi, Mike. This is Deborah from New Mexico. And I had to call you because of a hot wire you had a few months back, a kitchen table talk. And I've worked in a lot of industries, including banking. And you were giving some advice about mortgages and that. And I was having some challenges due to my car, and I decided I should not feel helpless and call my bank and see if I could negotiate some new terms. And I was able to do that, and it was all because of the kitchen table talk and you re-emphasizing that, and I just really wanted to thank you so much, because I feel a lot less burdened right now, and I appreciate all the great intel, whether it's during the week, Pain After Dark, and the Hot Wires. They're all excellent and have improved my life immensely. So thank you again so much.
Man, you got to love calls like that. I mean, I might not be able to get out of the room with a few more calls like that. My head gets any bigger. Hey, listen. It's a school of hard knocks, right? I'm happy it's working out for you. And stay on top of it and use those techniques for other things. If you get jammed up, even if you don't get jammed up, put some money in your pocket. Cash is king. Even though they're trying to outlaw it, cash is still king. I learned a lot of this when my mom was just buried under just piles of debt and letters, and was always growing up losing electricity. And at the worst times, you never lose electricity when it's okay. Like in the late spring where it's not hot and it's not cold. So you're like, okay, well, we can ride it out a few days. And they yank your electricity at the worst times. It's either really hot or really cold. But and then you got people. And she would work all day, and she didn't have time. There were no cell phones. She worked in a supermarket. And what are you going to, as a cashier, she just, and that's before there were scanners. So you have to key punch everything. And she didn't have time to talk to these people. How could you talk to people if you worked in a grocery store, right, without a cell phone, et cetera, and you worked during business hours? And she would literally, like, hide. She was buried. And I said, look, I don't know how old, we were teenagers. I said, give me these fucking things, and I'll start talking to these people and see what we can work out. And then I learned, well, you know, hey, we can beat these people up a little bit. We instead of asking them for, like, mercy, we could dictate some terms here every now and then. We can turn the tables on these guys. Because, you know, you find out it costs a lot more money for them to lose you and to chase you than it does to work out a deal with you. So we dug my mom out, my sister, my brother, and I pitched in. We started talking to these adults. Back then, I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit of a troublemaker. I call up like this. Hey, let me tell you something. What's going on with this bill? Okay. I had this little teenage voice, like, hey, like almost like Mickey Mouse in real life. Hey, let's go out and there's a keg party in the woods. Who's going? You have to bring your own cup. And then on the phone, I'm like, oh, this bill is preposterous. And we will. And, you know, anyway, maybe that's where all the bullshit started, right? With working Intel and things like that. But you can really, really put some money in. And this is not an ad. This is turning into another advertisement. Okay, whatever. You don't want to put money in your pocket now? Fuck, who else is telling you this stuff? If there's anybody else I've been looking for, let me know. I want to learn some more tricks. I want to learn some more techniques. I want to put more money in my pocket, in the bank, etc. So this stuff works. It works. I'm glad it worked for you. And I'm glad you get some relief. I've seen the relief fucking straight up with my mom. It's like, hey, mom, this is under control. We got this under control. We got this one. This one, they're just going to waive. This one, you know. And you don't feel so buried because you'd see it on her. Like, she became afraid of the mail. She wouldn't even read the mail. It's like, nobody's sending me any money, and there's no good news in the mail, so I'm not going to. I'm like, mom, you can't do this stuff. God bless her, and tough times growing up like that. Fucking tough. Anyway, you have to be tough as well. They're going to test your mettle here. They're going to test your mettle, take you to the wall. Okay, where to next? Let's see.
The Monterey Fair, Santa Fe.
Wow. Not doing well on the controls tonight, folks. Okay. I get a hold of myself. Okay. I remember this one. We'll play a little music behind this because I got to talk through this one because I wanted to remain confidential. As I said, you don't have to play this. To me, that means don't play it. We err on the side of caution here when it comes to confidentiality because it's not worth getting fried. This individual said, yeah, well, I want to thank you for the great job you're doing and honestly your leadership and the way you talk about things and the way you dissect things. It's actually just made me a lot smarter when I look at some of the things that the news is pushing and what the reason I'm calling is because I found out that through a friend of a friend who has a friend who has another friend who took the vaccine that they literally couldn't sleep for a week. And they had to do sleep studies on the person to figure out what was going on. And I'm not sure what came about it from it, but it's just really bizarre. And I don't know if you heard anything about that, but I thought I'd check in and put that out there. You don't have to play this. I just wanted to bring it to someone's attention. Take care and God bless, man. Thanks. I was wrong. This is from Michigan. This is not from San Diego. Maybe it is from San Diego. Somebody's learning how to fake people out, which is another skill set. Listen, this one's a new one to me, not being able to sleep. But I've seen some crazy stuff that people have sent us pictures. We can't publish them. Like, please don't publish this, you know. Somebody will recognize my arms. Somebody will recognize my feet. I mean, people are freaked out there. And what's happened to their bodies after they've taken these things. So sleep studies, and I don't think sleep studies are going to find out what the fuck is wrong with these things if it comes from the vaccine. I'm pretty sure that it's a waste of time. They love the sleep studies too. My doctor told me, yeah, you're ready for a sleep study. You're prime. This is just a couple days ago. You're prime for a sleep study. We got to get you scheduled. I said, I don't need a sleep study. And she said, do you have problems sleeping? I said, sometimes. She said, what do you think it is? I said, I'm fat. I don't need a fucking space mask like I just stepped off or onto Apollo 11. Okay. I need to continue to lose some weight. and then I'll be able to sleep better. Simple as it. Well, you know, these machines. I'm like, look, man, you put on a mask with L. Ron Hubbard and all these other space cadets. God bless you. If it helps you, it helps you, right? I don't need it. I'll continue to lose weight, and I don't have a day to go put a colander on my fucking head and be studied, right? I don't have that time. And if I do take a day off, it's not going to be wearing kitchen utensils and having tubes coming out of me like Doc Ock, for God's sakes. Now, I'm being a smartass. And if you've had sleep studies and you wear the mask and stuff, God bless you. But I don't need it. I know what I need. But they love pushing people to the sleep studies. I guess things are a little slow in the sleep study. If you can't leave your house and you have to go to a place to have a sleep study, I guess business is kind of low. I'm not surprised by any of this stuff. Anybody else out there familiar with this? Has anybody else heard that stuff? You can check in with us. We will pass it on, of course. Good way to good intel going back and forth. Is this guy going to do some news or what? Who gives a shit? It's all bad news anyhow. You learn more talking to real people than you do from these droids pumping the news out. Now we're going to go San Diego. We're in Michigan, and now we go to San Diego. Man.
Hey, Mike, this is Sawyer calling from San Diego. I had a quick question. Considering that the Derek Chauvin trial is concluded, and I'm watching Jason Goodman's live stream right now out in Minneapolis, my question is, do you think there will be a reduction or a stop to the violence in the streets by these BLM activists now that the trial has concluded? Or is this just going to continue like tinder on the fire? I love your show. Support you. I listen to you every day. Take care.
Well, it's a great question. It's a fantastic question. I think that you can't run a operation. You can't run a terror group, domestic terror operation, if you riot every freaking time. Whether something goes your way or whether something doesn't, because you lose the threat, you lose the terror aspect. And we found out here, folks, we found out here in the last year that the government is the best at selling fear and sowing fear and promoting it and hyping it, etc. That's how you know. That's how I know. And I try to convey this to you guys. That's how I know that they're running all these groups, because there's no fucking way that these groups are that sophisticated to use this type of psychological warfare. They use a lot of other things, right? They have to have been coached by professionals. And the only way to become a professional at this stuff is to work the federal game. And so the fear game only works if you threaten to burn a city down, if you threaten to go off, if you don't get your way, right? If you do it every time, then you're just you're an anarchist, you're rogue, you're crazy, and you can no longer be licensed by places like the FBI and the Justice Department. And they license these folks. They license them. It's as simple as that. So these things pop up when the feds have something that they want to further, or they want to have passed, or they're using things. We look at 9/11 and what happened after 9/11 with the Patriot Act, right? The feds activate these people almost like, I'll call them terror cells. And that's what they do. And so you can't have a terror cell that works if it always goes rogue. So the answer to that question is, this is not going to stop. It pops up whenever they have an agenda, and if they don't get their way, they go off. And I'm not even talking about different races and things like that. It's much more simplistic than that. When I say they, I'm talking about the haves. The haves are running the show here. These people in the street are just more puppets on the payroll, etc. They may not realize it. They may be true believers in what they're walking for, marching for, but the folks that are throwing Molotov cocktails and burning places down and literally killing people, a number of people have died, those folks are bought and paid for. And if they act like that, et cetera, it's literally an extension, in my mind, of the federal government. The feds want to do something. I know it sounds completely nefarious because it's hard for people, we talked about this, it's hard for people to understand that people can reach that level of evil and evilness, but they can. They can. And they, by the way, they trade off of and play against the fact that you can't get there psychologically to believe that they're even capable of that. It's almost like hiding in plain sight. It's the craziest thing. Hope that helps answer. Something to tackle later to talk about it as well, I think. But you know where I stand on that? And I don't think any... Listen, I've been to real situations in the street where shit hits the fan. What I see the last summer, it wasn't, for the most part, it wasn't organic violence. It wasn't organic violence. It looked very organized to me, very orchestrated. Sometimes it spun a little bit out of control where that would be considered to me grassroots violence, real violence, real anger, but very little of it. So what you're seeing is contrived, just like on January 6th with what happened at the Capitol. That was largely contrived. That wasn't real violence. I've been in the streets with real violence, and I don't want to go back because it spins way out of control, man. It spins out of control, and you're like, whoa, this is a little bit frightening. And because they don't, it doesn't discriminate if you're nearby. And if things spill out of control, regardless of what side you're on, you can end up getting trampled, rolled, hurt, shivved, whatever. You don't have time when things go haywire to decide who's on what side and are they exempt from the violence. So but what I've been seeing largely is not that kind of violence that I've seen in other places of the globe, real violence without the political theater, without the political manipulation and cash infiltration and things like that. Okay, how about one more and we'll jump in? There's no rush, folks. The news is brutal. It's just... Yeah. Are we going back to New Mexico? No, I think we're going to Oklahoma. Oklahoma. Nice. Spend some time in Oklahoma. Oklahoma City. And other parts. Let's see what we got here. God's country out there, folks. You go out there at night and look up in the sky. It's not the same sky you see out here on the East Coast or the very West Coast. It's not the same sky. It's like you're on a different planet. Here we go.
Hey, Mike, it's Chris from Oklahoma. I've been in law enforcement a long time. Of course, we weren't surprised at this verdict that came out against Chauvin. But, you know, that whole situation, from my perspective, was not right from the get-go. No cop in his right mind is going to sit out there on a guy's neck for 8 minutes or whatever with, you know, people filming him, especially in this day and age. So, you know, something stinks from the get-go. You know, I don't know if it was some sort of false flag or what, but it just didn't add up. So, but love the show, watch you every day, and just keep doing what you're doing, man. Take it easy.
It's going to take a while to put this one together tonight. I'm all over the place on the controls. But we can make it all sound good before it comes out of the sausage grinder and into your ears. If places like Apple even put it out to people. But we can't worry about that. We get a job to do every night. And you can't let these things slow you down. You just journey on and try to plow through them. And if somebody gets in your way every now and then, you have to plow them over too. It doesn't sit right at all. I'll tell you what. Nobody has talked about it because I guess very few people have been through it. In the news media, I'm talking about it, right? I mean, I've been through it. I've been to a sentencing fucking hearing. I've been to a... in court when, you know, the your come to Jesus moment, things like that. Although this was not a sentencing, it was this guy's life. And yesterday, and I got another note here I'll read from one of our federal guys who talked about some very interesting points that I hadn't even considered again. So, but he's guilty on all three counts, and he's just like, no problem. Talking to his lawyer afterwards, and he puts his hands behind his back, and they cuff him, and they take him out the door. This guy was like the fucking Iceman. Almost like, yeah, well, something else. Got something worked out. The family's taken care of, and I mean, the guy was completely no emotion. He's going to do some serious... I mean, he went from being free to being locked up because he was out on bail. They revoked his bail. He didn't fucking blink an eye. He was shooting the shit with his lawyer a couple minutes, and no problem. That's not how it fucking works, folks. If you give a shit about your life. I'm just pointing that out. Unless this guy was fucking Kuklinski, the Iceman. Maybe he's a complete maniac. We don't know, but that was just... And no one picked up on that. No one picked up on that. I saw that, and I said, what? I have it. I have it on tape because I was taping. I was trying to catch that guy's, the guy I talked about yesterday, trying to catch his original comments, and they replayed it where he was led away, and he was fucking no problem. It's like he was the day in the park. I'm like, what? That is... I mean, I don't know. I look at these things. I look at everything. I look at people's faces. I mean, it's hard to tell sometimes now with the masks and things, but I look at everything, man. I study everything. I'm like, that's like a big neon billboard in Las Vegas saying, problem, problem, problem. It's just yelling at me. This is a problem. This is not how people react. And you pick up on things like that when you're on the street. But speaking of being on the street, this dude here has picked up on a lot of things. Talking about in his estimation, that fall into this and fall into what the caller said. Who's in law enforcement? Okay. Sometimes these folks pick things up that you don't recognize. This guy, he's a Fed. Horrible. The defense was not good and missed a whole hell of a lot. Did not exhaust all his jury. Dismissed count could make it difficult for another trial. You want to be able to say that in order that you couldn't get fair juries. But based on all other mishaps, he should probably get another trial. He's going to need better representation, right? And he said something else here that was really damning, talking about what happened in Minnesota to taint the jury pool. Now, these guys look at all this stuff, these career guys, right? You're good at your job, whatever you do. I hope you are good. I trust that you're pretty good. You're fucking smart. The people I come across on here on our platforms are smart. And these guys are good at their jobs. That's how they've excelled. But you're talking about jury tampering and sending out that bird brain with a James Brown wig running their yap. The city, and I didn't really take the time to figure this out. The city of Minnesota decided to give $27 million to the Floyd family. The Floyd family did not even sue. There was never a case. The city did this on their own. They gave it to the Floyd family during jury selection. There wasn't even a decision yet. The case didn't even start. What message does that send to a jury? He is guilty. They boarded up the city during jury selection. They closed floors in the courthouse. What message does that send to a jury? How can a guy receive a fair trial? pretty good, right? You get $27 million, you don't have to do anything. Think about that. It's literally insane. It's insane. And all those things definitely contribute to soiling a jury and in many ways intimidating a jury. I would think, you think, wow, this is, they're boarding up the city and this is in my hands. And they're boarding up the courthouse that we're deliberating in. That we're listening to testimony in every day. And so we appreciate the input from really fucking smart people. And those things are worth considering. And it falls right in line with what I was saying yesterday, that the whole thing was rigged. It was set up. Keith Ellison is knocking the AG of Minnesota, former DNC, head of the DNC, former, well, not former, Hillary Clinton fucking puppet, etc. It's all set up. It's all set. That's why Chauvin walked away. He wasn't surprised. He walked away like he, you know, like his Powerball ticket didn't come up. He'll be in jail for the rest of his life, probably, sentencing in 8 weeks. He didn't care. You know what he was? Exactly. He was eyes without a face, man. He wasn't even there. It's like a fucking droid. Nobody is that cool. Nobody is that cool. I don't care who the hell they are. I mean, I've been in courtrooms, and I've been on the right side of the table, the prosecution, and I've been on the left side, the defendant. And where was his family at? And all this stuff, right? If you're the Iceman, your family's not going to be the fucking Iceman. Your wife is going to at least be crying and stuff and want to give you a hug before they take you away. So where was all that, right? And I've seen it fucking firsthand. I've seen it. So eyes without a face, man. He was like a fucking killer. Well, I mean, he is a killer according to the verdicts, but I mean like a stone cold killer. Looked like it all had been worked out behind the scenes. I've seen that happen too, with some feds who got arrested and everything had to be worked out before they went in front of the mics. The DOJ went in front of the mics. Sure, everybody, all the deals are worked out, all the private deals are worked out, the wives are going to get the pension, and these guys are going to keep their mouth shut about what happened. All this stuff gets worked out behind the scenes, and then on the day of the trial or the day of the plea or sentencing, everybody lines up like they did yesterday. All the politicians line up to give their speeches. This was a blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's like a play. It's a play. It plays out just like a play. Let's go over here, Jim. Keith Ellison is giving the Minnesota Attorney General's giving a speech about it. 5 minutes after that, the lawyers are giving a speech. And then the governor is going to, and then the mayor is going to give a speech. It's like boom, 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 boom. It's all fucking production. Meanwhile, the dude who was probably going to be behind bars the rest of his life, he's like not even there, man. He's like a fucking specter. That's why I play eyes without a face. He's just like, all you can see is the eyes. There was no face, and he, no emotion. No emotion. Maybe they gave him a little something in his system, you know what I mean? I'm going to need a couple sedatives before I go to, I don't know. I mean, he was out of the court. You know, maybe he went out and had a couple pops with his lawyer. Figuring fucking as soon as this verdict comes down, I'm gone. Anyway, let's get into the news. There's a story on there on True Pundit. It's from the official numbers of the CDC. So I'm not even going to waste time on it. The young bucks threw this in there. I said it. You're trying to set the old man off, right? Is that what it is? And like, what? Well, it's a good story. And I said, we're not gonna hype their bullshit. But they say, this is according to them, 5,800 fully vaccinated Americans have contracted COVID-19. 5,800, really. I just happen to know a bunch of them, I guess. I happen to know about 30 of those 5,800. What are the fucking odds of that? I don't know that many people. How could I know 30 of the 5,800 across the U.S.? And the CDC says 74 people have died in America that were fully vaccinated. Of course, we don't have to go any further, as I told the Young Bucks, than the headline. Fully vaccinated. See how they fuck spin things? These guys are literally criminals. Another great show in the books. I can feel it. I know when these things are good. I know when they're good. Back in the garage, also known as garage. I can also tell when the show's should be over because of my voice. Especially now, if you listen to Pain After Dark on Saturday, last Saturday, you understand that we are recovering from a nightmare. It's nothing short. There's no way to sugarcoat it in this country. We come from garage land. Folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit, helping us keep the lights on in the garage, in garage land, the garage band. And as I've said many times, we appreciate it. I'll break this down quick. Let's see if I can do it. There's a minute. There's about 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes left in this song. You're in trouble out there, folks. It's stacked up against you. I'm not the be-all, end-all. We're not the be-all, end-all. But you got to find some people that are telling you the truth. Some people have enough fortitude and guts to tell you the truth. And take a financial hit. Do you know how much money we could make if we were fucking lying? Like all the people on Fox, with big podcasts and radio shows now who lie to you? Sure, they might tell you 70% of the truth. It's the other 30% that'll fucking fry you. It's already frying you. If you went out and got a vaccine based on these idiots telling you it was safe and you're dead now, it's too late. You need to have intelligence to counter everything else you're hearing. If everybody out here was telling the truth, we'd all be prosperous. It would be the land of milk and honey. It's not, except for the haves. So you need to arm yourself with good intelligence. That's what we're trying to do here. So you have a baseline of truth for you and your crew. Fuck's sake. They're going to take it all. I said this in March 2020 when I was on a podcast. A couple different podcasts. I said, people said, what do you think's going on? I said, they're going to take it all. Oh, what do you mean they're going to take it all? They're going to take the White House? No. White House. Fuck the White House. They're going to take all your money. They're going to take everything you have. They might even come for you. Well, they've come for you with needle in hand. Now, you can decide on whatever you want, but you better have a good intelligence. And so that's what we're trying to do. And we're only looking for a few smart people a day to join up. Patreon.com/truepundit. Subscribestar.com/truepundit. A few smart people a day. Is that you? Big question. Make an investment in the truth for a change instead of wasting time with these paid liars. Thanks for the folks on Patreon.com and Subscribestar.com/TruePundit and Patreon.com/TruePundit. Thank you for helping us keep the lights on. We'll work those other ads in on the public side in post-production. And those folks, of course, get ad-free feeds of these things. And we move on. We've been here long enough. As I said to you many times, we appreciate everything you're doing for us. And that's why we put in the extra time and the extra hours and try to keep it real in times of crisis. And we're working 7 days a week for a long time. I don't know how long it's been. It's been a long time. There's no just pretending here. Perhaps just pretending that we're not tired. Sometimes we do that. Incredible fucking stories. Incredible stories. I think this was another good one. I don't. That's what I think. Take care and God bless you.
Change, change, change. Change, change.